Okay, we'll get started here this morning with the class. Turn to Ephesians chapter 4. And last class we talked about some of the gifts that God gave men. And one of those gifts was apostles. And we talked about who the apostles were and what were some of the things that needed was needed for them to be an apostle. They had to an apostle of Jesus Christ. I mean, it could mean missionary, but for the most part, when I was talking about apostles and like the foundation that the church was built upon was apostles and prophets. We'll get to the prophets today, but the apostles and the qualifications for them was someone that needed to be with Jesus throughout his ministry and see that. They couldn't just be anybody in the first century. And so then they replaced Judas with Matthias because of that, because he was one who him and Justice was also were the two men who had been with them, and they chose Matthias and so on. So today we're going to talk about prophets. Now, even though, like the similar case with the apostles, even though there's still maybe some need for people sent out, the way that, and the, some of the things that the apostle of Jesus Christ, it wasn't, those things ceased in the passing on of the gifts of the Holy Spirit, so other people could prove the word. Just that those gifts have passed on because we have the completed word now. Okay, and so kind of keep that in the back of your mind when we're talking about prophets as well. So in Ephesians 4, so I want to read verse 11. Okay, so prophets, the word for prophet, the Greek word, means a prophet or a foreteller or an interpreter of the divine will. So what is the world's view, or even the religious world's in a lot of cases, when you mention prophet or the word prophet's brought up, what is the answer that people think or associate with prophet? Like, what would it be? What are some of them? There's probably multiple. What are some of them?
Kind of people will think or jump to the conclusion of prophecy that they're predicting the future.
Okay.
Like that.
Yeah. Okay. Is it anybody else?
Well, some people think probably Old Testament prophets.
And a lot of them think that. They're predicting of the future, or like a fortune teller. But notice that it's not the word for prophet is a prophet, a foreteller, not a fortune teller. Okay? Or an interpreter of the divine will. Okay, so kind of keep that in the back of your mind there. They're an interpreter of the divine will and some of that idea. So just go a couple chapters back in Ephesians 2. And verse 19 and 20, please.
So then, you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and are God's household, that have been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone.
Okay. So, as we look there, we know that, as we'll look into a second here, that there are New Testament prophets in the New Testament, but there's also prophets in the Old Testament. And so when we see that the foundation of the church here, or this building, this holy temple, is built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, you know, a lot of times, you know, what does the word prophets mean? How are we built upon that foundation? And so I think, and we're going to get to this as we go into the class here, but the prophets are part of the foundation, and you know, I used to think it was, you know, New Testament prophets, which I'm not necessarily excluding that, but the foundation of the principles of the church was found in the Old Testament prophets, written in from the Old Testament prophets. The Old Testament prophets prophesied about the church coming, and we'll see kind of as we get a little bit further into the class today, what that prophecy or what that view of prophecy, because people have a bad view of what prophecy is as well, okay, and how that comes about. And so we're going to look at that and maybe look a little bit different into what a prophet is today. So we're going to turn to Acts 13 now. And we're going to go look at a couple examples. And notice some of the language here that as we continue through, look at a couple of these passages. Some of the language that's used, and it's going to help us give a description of what a prophet is. Because the gifts that he gave that he's talking about in chapter 4 isn't necessarily talking merely about the Old Testament prophets, probably. But he's talking about specific people in the New Testament there who are apostles, who are prophets, who are evangelists, who are elders, and who are teachers. Okay? So as we go here in Acts 13, verse 1.
Now there were at Antioch in the church that was there prophets and teachers, Barnabas and Simeon, who was called Niger, and Lucas of Cyrene, and Manian, who had been brought up with Herod, Tetrarch and Saul.
Okay, so there's a group of men here, and notice it doesn't distinguish between who was a prophet and who was a teacher. Okay, so when we look at this here, we see that, we know that there's prophets. Okay, we know that some of them, if not all of them, are prophets. And if all of them are prophets, that includes Barnabas and Saul. Okay. Now, so there are prophets and teachers. Now, keep that in mind. Turn over to Acts 15. This is after the council at Jerusalem here and over the circumcision, whether it was essential for to be physically circumcised according to the custom of Moses or not. And so at the end of that, after Peter and Paul and Barnabas and James talk about things, then they also... are talking here about two men in verse 32 of Acts 15. So I want to read that, please.
Judas and Silas, also being prophets themselves, encouraged and strengthened the brethren with a lengthy message.
Okay, so these prophets here, Judas and Silas now, it says they are prophets, but it speaks about something that they are doing. They encourage them with a lengthy message. Now, so that those Greek words there, when it talks about lengthy message, it could be translated they spoke much, okay, or they had a lengthy message. Now the word for speak there, or spoke, or message, me is the word the Greek word logos, okay, which is not a normal word to use when you're saying in the Greek language when they would say someone would say something or speak. That's not normally the word that is used. Okay, there's different words that are used when they're saying that somebody says something, okay? But the word logos is used here, I think, on purpose and for a reason. It's not just by accident, okay? So they were these prophets were encouraging them with a lengthy word, okay? A lengthy logos, a much logos. So it's a lot of the Word of God is what they're saying. This is the same word, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And then the Word became flesh. That's that same word, logos, there. And we talked about this morning, the leaders in the book of Hebrews, they are the ones who keep watch over their souls as the Word restores, or as logos restores, is what it's saying there. Okay? And so that's that word. It's not just limited to, it's not the normal word that is used when you're like, John said this, okay, or Jesus said this. It says logos, which is the word of God, is what he is pointing to here. But let's just kind of keep that in the back of your mind there, so we know that there's prophets in the New Testament. We know that these two particular prophets, their work here was strengthening with a lengthy logos or lengthy word. Okay, so in Acts 21 now, Acts 21, verse 8 and 9.
And on the next day we departed and came to Caesarea and entered the house of Philip the evangelist, who was one of the seven, and stayed with him. Now this man had four virgin daughters who were prophetesses.
Okay, so here we got the word for prophetess here is not the same word as prophet, but it comes from the word prophet. Now, this word prophetess means to prophesy. It's the same word that when the Jewish leaders are hitting Jesus, they blindfold him, they hit him in the head, and they say, prophesy who's going to hit you next. It's basically what, that's the same word, prophesy there. Okay, so, but even they had a little bit of a warped view of what that meant. Okay, so it means like a, this word, you know, can mean like a foretelling or the word foretelling has a bad rap too, because of how the world, again, has took and ran with that. And the religious world has run with it and has missed the mark. And like Brandon mentioned this morning, a lot of it's based on money. Okay, the reason behind it. Okay, because if I'm a prophet and I have a revelation that nobody else can determine whether it's right or wrong, then there's a lot of opportunity to make money in that. Okay, and so when the focus is wrong on who a prophet, what a prophet actually does. Because a lot of times the word prophet is looking at someone who's foretelling the future or a fortune teller type mentality. That's kind of the picture that the world will kind of think, oh, you think of prophet, well, it's someone with some divine way of seeing into the future is what it's all often referred to as. But as we're going to see here, you know, the question like we brought before, like what did or what do prophets do? Yes, Roy.
You mentioned fortune telling. That's divination in the Old Testament. That's clearly something that we're instructed not to have to be part of. Mm-hmm.
Right. And mostly because even the prophets of God, even though they did predict, and actually even the verse after here in Acts 21, we have one of two times that I'm going to think of off the top of my head. Agabus here in verse 10, he was a prophet. It says a certain prophet came down named Agabus, came down from Judea. And coming up, he took Paul's belt and bound his hands and feet. And it says, the Holy Spirit says in this way, the Jews at Jerusalem will bind the man who owns this belt and will deliver him over to the Gentiles. So he's prophesying something about Paul. Now, I'm not necessarily saying that prophets don't tell something that's going to happen. But that's the biggest part of what people think the prophets do. And that's the overwhelming when you say prophet, they think of something that they think of in the future, or they can see in the future. And even if you actually look in the context, Agabus, who's he say told him that?
Holy Spirit.
Yeah. Okay. So if you look at this, we're going to see this as we're looking at prophets, and we're going to go back and look at prophets in the Old Testament, we're going to see this consistent writing about prophets as it who they get their authority from. Okay, and we talk about leaders. Who do the leaders get their authority from? As the word restores, or as logos restores, the word of God restores. That's the basis of the authority. Okay, and we're going to see a similar thing here with the prophets here, because prophets were also leaders and were needed. Let's turn to 1 Corinthians 14. The other time that I can think of that it was actually Agabus in Acts chapter 11 as well. We won't go over there, but that he prophesies about a famine that happens, and it did come. It came to pass. But the purpose, just like any sign, any gift or anything, any miracle, was for the purpose of turning people towards the word. It wasn't the end of it. It was the purpose of giving authority, or if you will, or giving credibility to someone who is speaking the message. Okay, even Jesus, his purpose wasn't to heal people physically. The main purpose was to heal them spiritually, but he used the physical healings to give a basis for his authority. See, that's what he said, is it so that you know I can forgive sins, I'm going to heal the guy. You know, or he says to the guy, take up your pallet and walk. Okay, so look here in 1 Corinthians 14, verse 29. Actually, go 29 to 32, please.
Okay, so let two or three prophets speak, and let the others pass judgment. But if a revelation is made to another who is seated, the first one must keep silent, for you can all prophesy one by one, so that all may learn and all may be exhorted. And the spirits of prophets are subject to prophets.
Okay, so as we're looking at this here, first off, we're going to skip down to verse 32, and the spirit of the prophets are subject to the prophets. The prophet, if a wrong picture of a prophet is not somebody who just all of a sudden has this revelation and is speaking uncontrollably. Okay? The spirit of the prophet is subject to the prophets. Okay? So, with that in mind then, when we're going back to another thing, revelation also gets a bad rap or a false view, and they think of it something like it's something revealed that only is revealed to that person. That's the idea there. And so it's not that all it means is it's an unveiling. Okay? That's all that word means. It's something, and you could really say that when you learn something new, it's unveiled to you now. Okay? And there, if you go back to in 2 Corinthians, where it talks about the veil that lays over the heart of the person, and the veil is only removed in Christ. So the true meaning of God's word is veiled to those who aren't in Christ. So even when someone comes to Christ, there's that unveiling, or there's a revealing that there's new understanding that the Christian can learn now, because that veil is removed. Okay, and so it's really a revealing. They're learning something new. Brandon, you had a comment there. They could control it.
But, right. Yeah. And that says that here that, you know, that even if you have something from the Holy Spirit, you can control it and speak it when mm-hmm. it's needed or when you want.
Right. Right. And that applies to both. Doesn't just apply to prophets. That also would apply to someone speaking tongues as well when they would have that back then. But even like in verse 30, it says, if a revelation is made to another who is seated, let the first keep silent. And so there's control there that they'd had. They could stop and they could control it if it wasn't uncontrollably. But so when we're looking at this here, then we're going to look at in verse 29, kind of with some of those principles again there. Verse 29, it says, let two or three prophets speak and let the others pass judgment. Now the Greek word for others there is not saying that, okay, so there's three prophets at the front of the congregation and the rest of the congregation who aren't prophets are going to pass judgment. That's not what it's talking about there. Even if it was, it's still like the principle of a prophet is going to be changed. But that word for others means another that's like the ones who are speaking. So he's saying, let the other prophets pass judgment. Well, if it's only a revelation that the one prophet received that no one else could really prove, then the other prophets can't pass judgment on it. They can't discern it. They can't make a discernment to make sure that person is that prophet is speaking accurately. Okay? Because They have to be able to not necessarily comprehend. And comprehend is the right word too, but it doesn't go far enough. They have to be able to have some standard by which to discern it. So turn back to Deuteronomy 18. Okay, now this here we're going to see of, because the Jews asked the question about how do we tell whether a prophet is from you or whether a prophet is not. And so the question that maybe comes to mind here is that, well, how do the prophets discern it? Okay, if two or three prophets are speaking, how are the other prophets discerning? Okay, and how are they able to do that? Because the way that the world thinks of prophet, how could you discern it? Like if I had some revelation or whatever, how the world would say it, how can you prove it's different if it's just only something? If that's how the picture of the prophet is, how can you prove it's different? But we see that the prophets were able to judge and discern what the other prophets were saying, so there was some basis by which they could do that. Okay, go ahead.
I'm just thinking about 1 Corinthians chapter 14, and I think there's a couple of things that we need to think about here. One of them is that we didn't have the scriptures at that time, no New Testament. You know, we had the Old Testament. That was how they taught people. You know, they didn't go say open up to 1 Corinthians chapter 11 because it wasn't there.
Right.
And the other thing is what Paul, I think the underlying tone here, especially in this later part, is 1 Corinthians 14 is it talks about order. And I think there was a problem with, because of that,
mm-hmm.
because there were certain people that could get up and talk, there were sometimes it would get out of order.
Right, and he's reminding them that they're prophecy, they're subject to it. The spirit of the prophet is subject to the prophets.
Yeah.
They could keep the order. There's possibility to keep the order, and so that picture of the prophets isn't necessarily what we think of now. You know, like we think it's a different picture, but they also had there was a need for the prophets. Because there wasn't the complete New Testament yet. Just like there was a need for the apostles, because the complete New Testament wasn't there yet. But once the New Testament was there, to the extent of the apostles being needed as people being missionaries still, there still is that need. But the way that some of the things that the apostle Jesus Christ did, as passing on gifts and stuff like that, are no longer needed because we had the complete New Testament. So we're going to see something similar with the prophets too, that there's things that the prophets, were able to do that aren't needed like anymore, like predicting a famine or something like that.
So are we talking about spiritual? These prophets are talking about spiritual things, or just what are they discussing?
Right, and it'll all be kind of spiritual, as in talking about, spiritual is another word that has a bad view too, because we think of spiritual and we think of weird stuff. Like that's what the world thinks of, some weird stuff that you can't see. Right, yeah, we've kind of, you know, made it so it's this, yeah, whatever it is, it's some weird stuff, you know, some things that like only fortune tellers look at, but when we're talking spiritual. How the Bible refers to it as is something, because our battle is a spiritual battle. It's not merely physical. And so it is, everything that they're going to be talking about applies spiritually, but it's gotten so warped over the years that people have a misconception about what that's actually talking about. So they are talking about something spiritual, but it's not something weird.
More spiritual than governmental.
Right, right, yeah. Yeah, it's a spiritual thing. It's spiritual within the body and within the war that we have, not a physical war. It's a spiritual war, and so it all kind of pertains to that, or even spiritual growth and stuff like that. And so when we're testing that, then, because when they didn't have the passage, if you go back to Deuteronomy, they didn't even have the book of Deuteronomy. They had no passages. So this question that's asked here then in Deuteronomy 18. Someone want to read verse 20 through 22, please.
But the prophet who speaks a word presumptuously in my name, which I have not commanded him to speak, but which he speaks in the name of other gods, the prophet, that prophet shall die. You shall say in your heart, how will we know the word which the Lord has not spoken? When a prophet speaks in the name of the Lord, that things does not come about or come true, that is a thing which the Lord has not spoken. The prophet has spoken it presumptuously. He shall not be afraid of it.
Okay, so the one of the things that makes it easy for a false person to kind of push the prophet. I think the idea of the false prophets or idea of a false conception of what prophets are. So if something like people love mystery and stuff that they maybe can't explain or something that's exciting, okay? And so if a prophet has something that is exciting, that's why I think that probably this they have turned and focused on some of this stuff more and then it's gotten out of hand. Is that if you're waiting for the prophecy to come true, it's exciting. Okay, in some cases, and so you're excited about it, and then you see it, and then it's like a miracle. People are astonished by it. You know, it's something that's great, something they've never seen before, because their mind is so focused worldly that it's astonished when something happens. And they seek it. They have a greedy side to that, and they want power. But when God talks about here about testing the prophet, see here, if the words which had that was spoken did not come true or did not come to pass, then they were false, and that was the test. So until the New Testament, or even until the Old Testament in this case, until the completed Scripture was there, there was some need for some of that. But in the case of the New Testament prophets, who there are prophets that spoke, and the others passed judgment. See, they couldn't pass judgment if it was just merely a weird vision that this prophet saw about some little girl that fell in a hole and we're going to go save her, you know, type deal. They couldn't necessarily see that. You know, it wasn't like they couldn't discern that all the way. But what they could discern is if the prophets were, like Silas and Judas were doing, they strengthened them with a lengthy logos, or a word of God. So they could discern that, because the New Testament prophets had the Old Testament. So if we're looking at the foundation of the church is based upon the apostles and prophets, and if those prophets that it's talking about there is the writings of the Old Testament prophets, because that's the scripture that they had. That they didn't have the New Testament, so when they were having the scripture that people would turn to, because God is not an author of confusion, they didn't just all of a sudden make some new thing up and then all of a sudden start practicing or start doing this. The things that they did were written about in the Old Testament prophets. So the New Testament prophets were those who were discerning and studying diligently Old Testament passages, and that's how come they could edify and strengthen through the Logos, or the Word of God. And so that's how the other prophets were able to discern that. Okay? And so to be able to discern, if they had to wait for that to happen, which in the case of Deuteronomy here, the first century Israelites here, they had to maybe wait for it to come to pass a little bit. And even though there were some things in the New Testament that came, like Agabus prophesied about Paul being taken captive, or in Acts chapter 11 he prophesied about the famine. So some of those things, just like any gift or any miracle that happened, was so that it could prove the word that he was saying. So Agabus was a prophet, and he predicted something. Now, we have nothing else that I am aware of other than Agabus prophesying those two times about something that was physical. But based on other passages in Scripture and based on the context of the Scripture as a whole, he was using that in order to prove the word. Okay, so the basis, the main job of a prophet wasn't going predicting the future. The main job of the prophet was interpreting the word of God. Now, the word interpret is also given a bad rap, because we think, well, interpret the vision or whatever is what we kind of think of. Okay, well, if the New Testament word, the Greek word for prophet, is one who interprets the divine will, what is the divine will? How do we know what the divine will is? Well, we know what the divine will is because of what the word of God says. That's how we know what his will is. So if a prophet is one who interprets that, that's one who studies that and sees what the divine will is and able to speak the word and be able to strengthen the souls like Judas and Silas did, like those men in Acts 13 were able to do, like the daughters of Philip were able to do. They would prophesy. They would help strengthen in a way that they could help do that. So looking here then, if we're going to look at the word prophets, see, we know here that the true word, a true prophet here is someone whose the word comes to pass. And that would be something in the time of when there was no passage, no scriptures, that had to happen. But let's look at a couple more times in the Old Testament, the Hebrew word for prophet. Turn to Genesis chapter 20. Genesis chapter 20. Now this is talking about Abraham here, and when Abimelech took Sarah, because Abraham said that she was his sister in verse 2 of Genesis chapter 20. And so when we are writing here, or looking here, notice something it says. If you go ahead and read, someone want to read verse, it said God comes to Abimelech in a vision, but in verse 7 we see something. Go ahead and read that, please.
Now therefore restore the man's wife, for he is a prophet, and he will pray for you, and you will live. But if you do not restore her, know that you shall surely die, you and all who are yours.
Okay, so this Hebrew word for prophet is the same Hebrew word used in Deuteronomy 18, where we talked a second ago, where if a prophet comes and he speaks presumptuously and he doesn't speak the word of God, then he shall die. But one who's what he says comes to pass, he is one who's true. So that word, the Hebrew word for prophet, it means spokesman, speaker, or prophet. See, the spokesman gives a different view on what a prophet is. See, Abraham, no one really views Abraham as a prophet. Like, if you ask someone who's the prophets of the Old Testament, you might come with Isaiah, Jeremiah, Elijah, Elisha, Ezekiel. But you're probably going to be a long ways before you come to Abraham. Okay, any other ideas on prophets in the Old Testament? Like, any besides, how about this? Besides the ones who have books, what other prophets do we have named in the Old Testament? Moses was one, and that's one we'll get to. I mentioned two of them a second ago.
Enoch,
well, he prophesied. So let's do this differently a second. Under the correct understanding of the Hebrew word, who is a spokesman and a speaker, instead of a fortune teller, who are prophets? Because a prophet can be a spokesman, right?
So a spokesman is basically relating to
God's word.
Instruction,
right.
Yeah.
So what did Isaiah do? Whose words did he relay? God's words. Okay. What did Jeremiah do? What did Joseph do? When he interpreted the dreams, what was the first thing that he said? It was from God. What did Daniel do when he interpreted Nebuchadnezzar's dream? He says, "This is not from me; it's from God." Okay, he's a spokesman of God. Okay, turn to Exodus chapter 7. So then that makes sense. Then if the prophet is actually a spokesman. And some of those who didn't have books, I mean, we mentioned a few of those, but Elisha and Elijah don't have books. Nathan is another one that comes to mind, who is also, this word is used for the prophet Nathan talks to David. That's the same word is used for him. It's the same word used for Samuel. It's the same word used for Isaiah and Jeremiah and Ezekiel, who were also prophets. Here, and so it's a spokesman here. So in verse 1 of Exodus 7, please, someone read that.
Then the Lord said to Moses, "See, I make you as God to Pharaoh, and your brother Aaron shall be your prophet."
Okay, so to Pharaoh, God was going to make Moses as God to Pharaoh, but Aaron was his prophet or his spokesman. Same Hebrew word here. See, Aaron didn't have any fortune-telling or foretelling, if you will, or fortune-telling view of the future that he was telling. He was speaking the things that Moses told him to speak to Pharaoh. And Moses got what things that he spoke from God. But I can go back a little that way. But so the prophet Aaron was a prophet or Aaron was a spokesman. See, this isn't translated prophet ever. Or it's not ever in the Old Testament, it's always translated prophet or prophets or prophesying or something with that. Like, I think it's like 165 times it's translated prophets or prophet, and like 100 and some times or whatever it's translated prophet. I think it's like prophecy once or in prophesying one more another time. I can't remember exactly the Hebrew word, but it's never translated spokesman or speaker. See, we have a wrong idea of what a prophet does based on, it's kind of like priest or pastor, which I don't like the word pastor either, but that's the word that's one time it's mistranslated in the book of Hebrews, or Ephesians, which we'll get to in a couple weeks here. But if you don't have, if you change the name, And you have the name different than what the person actually does, then it kind of is up to what you decide that person does. Okay, so when you give pastor, well, you don't find any qualifications for pastors in the New Testament because they're not because a true translation of pastor would be elder, but if you change the word, then your qualifications can be whatever you want to be. Okay? Well, if you change the word for prophet, I'm not saying they're not prophets, but the way we understand prophets is different than what the Bible is saying prophets are. And so when you change the word, when you make the word prophet and you have a false narrative of how we think what a prophet is, then it can be any thing that we want it to be. But if you actually translate it that they're spokesmen, they're interpreter, spokesman for who? They're spokesman for God. They're people who interpret the divine will or give a speech or speak of the divine will. Okay? Isaiah and Jeremiah and Ezekiel got their instructions. They just didn't come out and say these things against Israel just because. They came out and said it because that's what God instructed them to say. It wasn't by their own fortune-telling, if you will, that they spoke those words. It was from God. Joseph didn't speak the words of Pharaoh based on his own fortune-telling. He spoke it because of the word of God. Aaron didn't speak the words of Pharaoh because of what he saw in the future. He spoke about it because of what Moses told him, which he got from God. Daniel didn't speak about the things from the dreams of Nebuchadnezzar or even other dreams like Belshazzar. He didn't speak of that because of things that he had, but because of what God gave him, because of what he received from God. And so that picture there is a spokesman. And Brandon brought this up here before. Moses was a spokesman. Moses was a prophet. Turn to Acts 7. There's so many any comments as we turn there or anything?
Obvious, I think, is Aaron was a priest. That was his job. Mm-hmm. But they called him a prophet in here. So
right.
So he was basically he was a priest to take care of all the sacrifices and stuff in the mm-hmm. in the temple, you know, or tabernacle. Yeah. And but he prophesied because that was,
right.
that was a side deal that he,
right.
that he had.
That's a good parallel because that's something that, I mean, the priest also was some a spokesman of God.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, and
yeah.
So that It's not something out of the ordinary even for today, you know, that parallel there. But he still did the work of God, but was a spokesman too. So turn to as Acts 7, verse 38 through 40. Actually, I missed the verse. Verse 37 through 40. Okay, so look at some of that language there. Okay, so Moses, this is Stephen in his defense when he is talking to the rulers and the elders of and the Israelites here in the first century. But he's relaying to them and communicating all the history that they had. And he's talking about Moses here and he's building up this argument for Christ here. But he's talking about Moses here and he says, this is the Moses who said to the sons of Israel, God will raise up a prophet for like me from among your brethren. And we'll get into that in a little bit later, okay? But Moses here is, Moses, when he said that, he's calling himself a prophet. And Stephen here is calling Moses the prophet. So, I mean, if there's any confusion whether Moses was a prophet or not, we have that confusion cleared up. Moses was a spokesman, but notice what he says here in the verse 38. This was the one in the wilderness of the congregation, together with the angel who was speaking to him on Mount Sinai, and he was with our fathers, and he received living oracles to pass on to you. So Moses was the spokesman. The living oracles that he received, he passed on to the Israelites. You think of something here. Just an idea. The Ten Commandments are words of prophecy. Okay? They are, because we think of prophecy of something that happens in the future, but the Ten Commandments were living oracles that the spokesman of God, Moses, spoke to the Israelites. Okay? So it's a prophet doesn't have to be something that is looking into the future, predicting the famine or predicting who is going to get arrested. There might happen sometimes where they predict, because Isaiah did look ahead and he saw the glorified Christ in the temple. Okay, he looked ahead in Isaiah chapter 6 and saw that. And even Jeremiah, you know, in other parts of Isaiah, he prophesied about stuff future as well. Jeremiah prophesied about future things. So did Ezekiel. So did Daniel. They all prophesied about the church, okay, something that was going to come in the future, but they got those things from God. And a lot of their message, yeah, there was some prophecy, and it made quite a bit of prophecy, but a lot of in that prophecy was getting those who they were with to repent. It was a spokesman from God to pass the word on. And so Moses here, the same way here, he had living oracles that were given to him to pass on to the nation of Israel, but they were disobedient and they turned their hearts back to Egypt. They didn't repent. Okay? And so he is Stephen is explaining here some, and this is things that the Israelites would have understood, even though they might not have understood it clearly. Because really, so remember when they are, well, I'll get to that point in a second here. Let's look one more here. So Aaron spoke the word of instruction, Moses spoke the word that he was instructed, and that's what Isaiah did, that's what Joseph did, that's what Elisha did, that's what Elijah did, that's what Jeremiah did, that's what, you test it all the way when you go through the Old Testament prophets. They are speaking the things that God instructed them to speak. And yes, they have certain healings and stuff. I mean, Elisha told Naaman to go dip 7 times in the Jordan, okay? Or Elijah and Elisha both, they helped someone who was hungry, or they maybe saved some people or whatever. They had miracles that they were allowed to do there too. But the main part of their message was a spokesman. Turn ahead to Luke chapter 1. Or actually, we're back because we're already in the book of Acts. So Luke chapter 1. So this is Zacharias here. Who's Zacharias? Does anybody know who is his son? Okay. So Zacharias has been mute for a while here, and then all of a sudden after John's born here, we see that his mouth is open and he's speaking in verse 67, filled with the Holy Spirit. Okay, so someone want to read in verse 76 of Luke chapter 1. Okay, so John here is referred to as prophet of the Most High. He is talking about John in this particular verse. There's other verses he talks about. He's talking about salvation, talking about the horn of salvation, which is talking about Jesus. But John is going to be the one who goes before him. He's the prophet of the Most High that will go before him to prepare his ways. Turn to Matthew chapter 11. Turn back to Matthew chapter 11. Someone read verse 9.
Why did you go out to see a prophet? Yes, I say to you, and one who is more than a prophet.
Okay, so Jesus in verse 7, it specifies that he's talking about John here. And so he asks, did you go out to see a prophet? Yes, I say to you, one who's more than a prophet. Okay, so here's a question then. What foretelling did John do?
Jesus.
Okay. So as a foretelling, where did he get that from? He got it from God, but what specifically did he get that from?
He used prophets.
The scripture, right? His any foretelling that he had, another one would have been that he foretold about judgment. Okay, in Matthew 3, where it talks about the winnowing fork, you know, Jesus is going to immerse with fire, the winnowing fork is burning the chaff. He foretold about judgment there. So there's maybe two things if you want to say he foretold, but those things that he foretold were based upon Scripture, and the rest of his ministry was based on preparing the way, a spokesman for God. Okay, so John was a prophet. Jesus said he was a prophet. Zacharias, who was inspired by the Holy Spirit, says that he was going to be prophet of the Most High. And John wasn't a fortune teller. John was a spokesman. He was speaking what the Word of God said. Turn to Mark chapter 6. Mark chapter 6. So John was a prophet and wasn't a fortune teller. He spoke the word. He was a spokesman. So John chapter 6, this is Jesus. He goes to his hometown and people are taking offense at him in verse 3. And in verse 4, someone read Mark 6 verse 4, please. Okay, so as we see here that, yes, I tried to mention this before, the word prophet here is the same Greek word that we're looking at, which means a prophet or a foreteller or an interpreter of the divine will. Now, Jesus himself here calls himself a prophet. Okay, turn to Acts 3. We kind of already read this a little bit in Acts 7, and here, but we're going to look in Acts 3, 22 through 23.
Moses said, "The Lord God will raise up for you a prophet like me from your brethren, to whom you shall give heed to everything he says to you. And it will be that every soul that does not heed that prophet shall be utterly destroyed from among the people."
Okay, so Jesus here is referred to as a prophet by both Moses and by Peter. Okay, so Jesus was a prophet. He called himself a prophet, and he was referred to as a prophet. So then the question then is what was the work of Christ, and what foretelling did he do? If you think of it, just think about it in a broad scale. Right. And so what basis did he have for that?
He was a spokesman for God.
Right. And so where did he get the basis from? Well, where did he get that information, if you will? From the Word. From the Old Testament prophets. Because the church was prophesied about, right? He's a spokesman, just like Isaiah was a spokesman from the Word of God. So if you think about it, if Isaiah was a spokesman from the Word of God speaking the words, and if someone who repeats Isaiah repeats those words, they're also a spokesman for God then too, right? And Jesus was a prophet. Turn to John, Gospel of John, chapter 12.
There. Sometimes people get the idea that like, whatever Jesus spoke, God would just like whisper. The Father was whispering in his ear, right, and he was speaking. But we forget that he was just a man, he was human too.
Right. And interprets the right word if you understand interpreting the right way. Because it's interpreting, he's looking it out. He's interpreting what the Scripture said, because there was a lot of things in the Old Testament, obviously, that were hidden. Without the basis of the New Testament, they really don't, you don't quite understand it. You know, you don't understand when it says, out of Egypt I'll call my son, until Matthew says that Hosea prophecy was actually talking about when Jesus was in Egypt after he fled there, and he came back to Israel when he was young, when Joseph and Mary took him there. Like, you don't understand that passage until Matthew explains that passage there. But so when Jesus here, in verse 44 of John chapter 12, verse 44 through 49, please.
Sees the one who sent me. I have come as light into the world so that everyone who believes in me will not remain in darkness. If anyone hears my sayings and does not keep them, I do not judge them, for I did not come to judge the world, but to save the world. He who rejects me and does not receive my sayings has one who judges him. The word I spoke is what will judge him at the last day. For I did not speak on my own initiative, but the Father himself who sent me has given me a commandment as to what to say and what to speak. I know that his commandment is eternal life. Therefore, the things I speak just as the Father has told me.
Okay, so we see there then that Jesus, and he even mentions that in that principle there, that Jesus, is, he said, I'm not the one who judges, but the word is what judges. You see the picture of the white horse in Revelation 19, the man on the white horse with the sword coming out of the mouth. Sword's the word of God. The sword's the one that the thing that judges. Okay, and so if you have that idea there, now again, that doesn't mean that Jesus is not the judge. That what he is saying here, he's speaking on the, because he's human still. I mean, he's still bound by flesh. And so when he is speaking here, he's saying, hey, it's not me based on my own something that I have, even though he is God, even when he was on earth. But he humbled himself, and he's saying, from my human initiative here, these words are not spoken from my human desire. These words are spoken from God, because it's what God wants. And that's what's going to judge the person, because if you don't believe what I say, he says, it's not that you don't believe in me, you're not believing the one who sent me to speak these words, okay? And then he goes and talks about eternal life, and what I speak, things I speak just as the Father has told me. And the things that he spoke and what he said was based upon, because you hear all the time he refers to, now what does the prophet say? What does David say? So David calls the Messiah Lord. And so he goes and brings up a passage in the Old Testament. Or when they're complaining about the apostles eating with unwashed hands, he says, well, what about David? When him and his men ate the bread they weren't supposed to be. You know, he goes back to an Old Testament passage. Or even some of the parables that he uses, the parable of the vine growers is an Old Testament passage. And so Jesus, when he's speaking the things that God says. He is a spokesman for God. And it's based upon the word of God. Because it's not his words that he is dreaming up. It's what God has instructed. And the instructions that God had at that time were the Old Testament passages. That's what he had. Now, granted, I mean, Isaiah and Jeremiah and those guys, when there wasn't as many Old Testament passages, or even back in Moses' day, there wasn't any Old Testament passages. So Moses being the prophet, there are Abraham being a prophet, a spokesman for God, was getting it from God, and so the way that they had to be able to prove that was if it would come true or not. And so when you get down to the New Testament, the way that those prophets could discern what the other prophets were saying was because those prophets that were speaking the things that the Word of God said, so that those other prophets could see if they were telling the truth or not. Just like the Bereans in Acts 17, when they were more noble than the Thessalonians because they went and searched the scriptures to see if these things were so. They didn't just believe it based on, because Paul and Silas there, which if you look at our passages earlier, Paul was amongst the group that were in Acts 13 that were called prophets and teachers, and Silas was amongst the group in Acts 15. Him and Judas were prophets. So they just didn't believe what they said. They looked at what the scriptures said. Okay? And that's what a prophet is. So now let's turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. This kind of sums up the point that's being made. 1 Corinthians 12, in the light of everything else we discussed here, verse 28. Please, 1 Corinthians chapter 12.
And to another the
All right, Larry, did you miss the first half of the verse? Verse 28?
What?
All right, 1 Corinthians 12, 28. You read the last half, I think. Did you...
Twenty-eight.
Okay. I'm
way ahead of that.
What's that? Oh, okay. Okay. Go ahead.
At 28.
Yeah.
And God has appointed to the church first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then miracles, then gifts of healing, helps, administrations, various kinds of tongues.
Okay. So. Notice, so first he appointed apostles, then prophets, then teachers before any miracles or healings or tongues or gifts or whatever that are mentioned. And that word for, so it says first apostles, first prophets, third or second prophets, third teachers, then miracles. That word for then means thereafter. It is emphasizing that the initial things that are mentioned before had to be in place before these things are any benefit. So the miracles, the gifts of healing, the tongues, the administrations of various kinds of tongues. So they were a secondary purpose of the first three, of apostles, prophets, and teachers. I mean, we would even say that teachers isn't something that people have too concerned about, you know, but they don't have too much of a, I mean, they do, but people would have very easily say that teachers are today. And Paul, they're still today, which is accurate. And Paul is saying that teachers are above the miracles and the tongues and the gifts of healing. Okay? And prophets are above that too, and so are apostles. Now, when you're saying that, then, is it that, so the initial kind of camping off there, what we're talking about, the initial purpose of a prophet was a spokesman of God, and in the case that a miracle needed to happen, they had that too. Okay, so but people have it flipped around. They have it that, well, the prophet has the gifts and the miracles and the prophesying and the fortune telling and everything, and then he speaks what God says. That's the view of it. But really how the Bible has it is they're spokesmen first, and you go and you test it all the way through the Old Testament and the New Testament. They're spokesmen first, and they don't speak on their own will. They speak on the will of God. They speak of the Word of God. And yes, in the case of the New Testament prophets, there was some need for some prophecy at times. There were some things that were kind of out, you know, that were given to them that needed to be proven. But the bulk of their teaching wasn't just of these visions, sayings that they got from visions that people were going to have to see in the future to know if they were telling the truth or not. And while you're at it, why don't you still consider me a prophet and support me in ministry type deal? That's not what it was. Their basis was on the Word of God, and once in a while they would have a prophecy or a gift of healing or a miracle that would happen that would give them authority. Not give them authority, but would prove that what they were saying was true. So we need to make sure we have that accurate. Yes, right.
So you covered the positive of a prophet, right? Mm-hmm. And then you mentioned fortune teller. And in Scripture, there's an example of a fortune teller in the marketplace that she was following around, mm-hmm, and making money as a fortune teller.
Right.
Definitely not a prophet. And what did they do? They cast out the unclean spirits, and she could no longer have that power,
right,
of fortune telling. Mm-hmm. So that's where fortune telling, that's that influence. That's
right.
Why that type of thing is something we can't partake of.
Right.
Only the Holy Spirit, yeah,
right,
is our guide.
Right, and a lot of time in fortune telling, to be successful, you can be relatively broad. Something great's going to happen for you in this.
Vague, right?
And they can be vague about it, and a lot of times get lucky with things or however that works. And I'm not saying there's still not, you know, forces of wickedness that can influence some things, but my point is that when you, for the most part, there might be some deceitful things that people could say, and things may become true if you call them coming true.
They're drifters.
Yeah. But as opposed to they could see something different in a true prophet, because a true prophet is pure, didn't make money from it, but they are pure and they spoke the word of God first. And if there was something that needed, you know, a miracle or something, that did happen at times. You have something to add there?
Basically, just like you were saying, the law averages is going to give some people that give predictions out that they're going to be right once in a while. But most of these guys that were all these guys that were prophets, they whatever they said came true. I mean, that's just how it was.
Yeah, and because they spoke it from the Word of God.
Yeah, they spoke it from the Word of God.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Because there are prophets in the Old Testament that I think Jeremiah or Ezekiel spoke against that didn't have words that come true. Because they spoke against him, because they were saying that, well, we're going to be restored to our country after they were taken captive. And God tells them, tell them that, no, that they're false. And it's you're going to, the country's going to be completely destroyed. And the temple's going to be destroyed. And so Isaiah or Ezekiel, I think maybe both of them, I can't remember exactly, but they were given this, they were telling what this said, so that when it came to pass, when the temple was wiped out, destroyed, then that prophecy came true. And the other ones were false. Did you have something, Kyle?
Yeah, and this is kind of the point of your deal in some ways. Like, we have always have the idea of a prophet, like somebody who tells the future.
Right.
And that's not the case. While they did talk about future themes a lot in the Old Testament, different themes, and even some stuff in the New, but it was specifically the Word of God. And the best way to tell if somebody's a prophet is if what they're saying lines up with the Word of God.
Right. Right, yeah, and we're speaking the word, yeah.
We're speaking the word, and so like us, I mean, things that we talk about, specifically with judgment, I mean, we're prophesying something there that's going to come true.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not, I would have no idea about it if it wasn't for God's word.
Right.
And that's a really good point to come up with, that it's not just some random dude that God's speaking to his ear.
Right. And so on that line, Enoch was a prophet as well, too, you know, when you look at that, because he spoke about judgment. But we think of something, yeah, those guys, when it hadn't come to pass yet, and the same thing with us, too, where with the apostles, again, there was a need for some things that they were able to do, pass on gifts or whatever like that. There was a need for some visions for some New Testament prophets, but there's still a need today for missionaries to go out. But the passing on the gifts, there's not. There's still a need today for discerning prophets, if you will, and under the correct understanding of who they are, those who discern the word of God, as we've seen some examples there, is that they could discern what the other prophets are saying because they could see it happening right there. They didn't have to wait 10 years to see if this famine would come true necessarily, even though it did happen at times. But when they were able to discern that, they were discerning that because those prophets were speaking things of the Old Testament, so they were able to... more educated, if you will, or had studied it out, they could say, hey, no, this is not what Isaiah was meaning by this. And that's why they had that council in Acts 15. No, God wasn't intended for this circumcision accustomed to Moses to have to be necessary for salvation. You know, there's things that those guys there, Barnabas and Paul and Silas, who were probably, and Judas too, were all mentioned to be prophets. And you could probably lump Peter into that as well. They were saying, no, this is what the Old Testament passages are saying. And that's what James is also another one who was interpreting Old Testament passage, and he's the only one we have an example in Acts 15 there that says, hey, this is what the church is. It's what the temple is. It's the Gentiles coming into it. And so, yes, the true prophet is a spokesman, but we also are, if you want to say that, we also are prophets if we are accurately speaking the things of the Word of God. We're a spokesman to a lost world. So the prophets of the Old Testament were spokesmen. They were spokesmen to the lost nation of Israel that needed to repent. And they touched on Gentiles a little bit. But the bulk of the New Testament is written to the church to say, get ready here. Okay, be repent and change. And there are some details a little bit about if you want to say, Gentiles or those who aren't Christians, yes. But the bulk of the New Testament is written to the church to keep them prepared so that they could go and help people to get into it, yes. But they were speaking of the, not on their own initiative, but on what God says. The prophets, the gifts that God gave to men are apostles, one, and prophets, two, and there are still some need for that for discerning passages, or discerning, like not in some weird way, but looking and studying out the Word of God and correctly interpreting it, if you will, or correctly teaching that. So any other comments then? Okay, we'll pick up next week then, the rest of verse 11.